This is the Day Zero update for March 5th, 2017. I'm Filippo D'Onofo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon.
And
I'm Chris Elogi.
And I'm Dan Reb Victorio.
And the Switch launch happened 2 days ago. A bunch of us have it in hand. We are definitely going to be talking about that this week.
Yeah, we are actually in hand as I speak.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's not the only thing that happened this week. It's been pretty eventful. So, yeah, before we get to that, let's get into what we've been doing this week. You know, I have a feeling this is going to be a pretty quick one, given that, you know, the main topic of the story, the topic of the show is probably going to be the Switch, and that's going to be later on. But anyways. So this week, yeah, I haven't done a lot of gaming myself because I've been sick. My mom was sick this week, which means there ain't no way in hell I wasn't going to get it.
So, that is the nature of it.
Yeah, so yeah, that's past few days have left me feeling kind of, didn't really feel like doing a whole heck of a lot of anything, so I didn't.
It's a good policy and it served me well.
Yeah, so that was me. How about you, Pat?
Well, I do have a Switch in hand. Just paused. I came away from the launch with The Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild, which I'm saying right now might as well be called The Legend of Zelda Ooh Shiny. Just because it's so hard to stay focused on a certain task when there are shrines just popping up wherever you happen to be.
Yeah.
Ooh, piece of candy.
Yeah. I also got Super Bomberman R and Fast Remix, which I will be reviewing as part of our launch coverage here at Smash Pad.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the midst of all that, I found time to play more Heaven's Ward and Ridge Racers 2. So, yeah, good gaming week for me. I'm quite pleased with it. I'm also finally getting to know the streaming capabilities of my capture card, so expect me to be doing a lot more streaming in the coming days and weeks.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
How about you, Brandon?
Well, my primary has been Horizon Zero Dawn. I'm still making my way through that. Still a good deal of fun. Still hard as balls. A lot of people want to compare it to Zelda, but the comparison doesn't really work. I actually would compare it something closer to like The Witcher in the way that it's sort of arranges and how it plays out, because
you haven't played Breath of the Wild though, have you?
I don't have a Switch, so no.
Do you have a Wii U?
Yeah, I do, but I don't want to play it on the Wii U.
Okay. I'm just saying, because that game...
Well, this was before Zelda was a professional release. So, yeah. But what I'm saying is, basically what I'm saying is this game is more along the lines of The Witcher in the way that it requires you to sort of plan your attacks ahead, and you have to get your equipment and stuff in order before you go out on a mission.
Yeah.
It's the type of enemies that you run into, even the easy ones, like if enough of them gang up on you, they can take you out in a pretty quickly. There's also the fact that the enemies that exist are basically kind of sort of generated by what area you're in, and since you can basically, once the proving section of the game is done, you can pretty much go anywhere at that point. It basically means that the range of enemies you come in contact with drastically vary once you get out to the open world. It can be anything from I'm guessing in this game, more or less the most basic enemy you can come up against are what are called the Watchers and Grazers, which are basically Watchers are basically the machines who basically act as like survey drones. They look around and make sure there's nothing, because if they spot any kind of danger or anything, they'll communicate to the grazers, and then the grazers will take off. So they're sort of like a living warning system, and in the meantime, the watchers will actually attack you with these really, really nasty fire attacks. And these are just the basics. There's also stuff like Sawtooth, and just you get bigger into like the robot dinosaur stuff. So yeah, it's not a game. It's not something that you can just expect to hack and slash your way through. It takes thought.
Speaking of that, Brandon, do you find yourself striking more or shooting more?
It really depends on who I'm going up against. Because some of the bigger enemies require you to use things like traps and stuff. Because some of them cannot be effectively attacked unless they have been stunned or caught or whatever. Sometimes some of these enemies you actually have to like knock pieces of their armor off as well.
Yeah.
Or you can even think of attacking them. So yeah, it's if the beginning of the game seems a little easy or you seem a little OP at first, don't worry, because you won't be.
The rubber band just hasn't been pulled far enough back.
Right. So that's what I've been... That's the other one. Other game I got is what's probably the sort of indie darling right now, which is Night in the Woods, which is an adventure platformer that is, like, just eaten up with indie game, you know, idiom or whatever. It's basically you play this cat who is just come back from college, is 20 years old, basically dropped out, coming back to her home, and I'm not sure if it's like in the Northeast or like somewhere in Canada or something, but I say Canada because there's like a lot of World War One memorials everywhere. And basically just goes back to her little town and finds out that the town is basically in an economic downturn. A lot of folks are unemployed, starts reconnecting with people, and then weird shit in the woods starts to happen. It's also really, really funny. Like genuinely guffaw funny at times. Because the thing is, the character you play, her name is May, by the way. She's something of a woman child, you know, even though she's around 20 years old, but her mannerisms and sort of just the overall way she acts makes it sound like she's 14 or something. It's funny. And it's a genuinely gripping game for some reason. It's got this really amazing art style that, well, if you see screenshots of it, well, the screenshots really don't give the game justice. You have to actually see this, you know, moving physically to really get it. And it's nice. It's really pretty, even though it looks very simple. It's got a bunch of little other neat touches. There's like a game within a game, which is sort of like a sort of horror-based hack and slash that you can play on May's computer. Just in general, there's all these little neat things you can interact with in the game. And you know, there is some platforming, and I recommend it. It's really good.
We'll have to check that one out. I'm looking at some screenshots now, and it does look pretty interesting.
Yeah, it you got to see it actually moving to really get the whole effect of it.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So that's what I've been playing. What about you, Chris?
The thing I've been most playing lately has been Horizon Zero Dawn. The thing that's really getting me about that game is it kind of reminds me a lot of Phantom Pain, where it sort of throws you into this open world area, and there are lots of roving enemies. And you're very much encouraged to not necessarily take them head on, but to sort of go stealthy, approach their like little villages, or some of them are out traveling a little bit, you're encouraged to sort of try to, you know, take them on one-on-one, take them out as you can, and just overall, just be as prepared as you can, be completely aware of the situation. They give you the tools for that that works really well. That when I play Zelda, makes me kind of wish I had some of those tools to be better, like be aware of your surroundings, sort of see enemies through walls, things like that, so you can have better awareness of what's going on. Because there are some areas where I'm, like in Horizon, I'm looking for boars to kill. Because boars in Zelda are a source of meat that I need for this old man to make him a special steak that I don't know how to make.
Yeah.
It needs to be a steak that makes you warm, which I'm adding the warm ingredients, and it's not the right thing. It's not as and like the recipe stuff is just weird to me in Zelda. I wish they kept track of it for you so you could understand more easily, just make things and know that, oh, these don't go together, so I better not try that next time.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, with Horizon, I just got to the proving, let's see, I just got to the part where you get to talk to everybody, after the little ceremony with the lanterns. Yeah, I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. I just really like the way they have all the crafting and all that set up. It's kind of like a mix between Phantom Pain and Far Cry.
Mm-hmm.
Last couple Far Cries, which is something I really like. Because Far Cry kind of pissed me off just because there's just a ton of animals around that are just going to hunt you all the time.
Yeah.
You don't really get too much peace there. Here, unless you're screwing around with the robots, you're pretty much left to your own devices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to scheme as you want, which is pretty much what I want out of that game. Yeah, I've also been playing Zelda. I just got the fourth shrine in that opening area.
Oh, so now, wow. Okay.
So I am on my way to this X-Spot, and for whatever reason, I've been playing on the HUD light option, so I don't have any like little mini-map or temperature gauges or anything like that. It's pretty much just the hearts. That's all you really see, which is nice. It keeps it kind of a little less busy and just lets me explore, not really put all the other stuff on there that doesn't really help too much. It's like I can tell which areas are cold because there's snow on the ground. I don't really need it to tell me that that's cold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of like it a lot. I just wish there was a bit more, bit better like crafting system for the food stuff, and better item management, so like when you're in the quick select for that stuff, it would be nice a lot to drop stuff more easily when you come up to a chest that has like a new melee weapon, but you're full, but you really want that melee weapon.
Yeah.
Let me drop this stupid buckle speaker that I don't need. Things like that would be nice, ease of life things to add. And also, be nice to have a better frame rate on the docked mode, because it is pretty bad. I think Digital Foundry was looking at it, and it's the game, it's 30 frames per second standard, but on docked, it drops to 20 regularly. Yeah. And when you have
undocked?
An handheld...
Are you sure?
Yeah, undocked, it actually runs smoother than docked.
Yeah. It's like it's a resolution, not...
Yeah.
It's better at the 720, but on docked, it tries to run at 900p, I think, and it's not able to keep that up. It's like when I'm running through like fields of tall grass, it goes nuts. Just slowing down.
I was reading somewhere that it has to do with the system memory when undocked or something.
Yeah. It's just weird. Kind of sours the experience a bit when you're trying to take in, you know, the beautiful world they have built, and it's just chugging along just on grass and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's still enjoying that. It's cool to play a Zelda game that's built more on systems than like locked in mechanics that they've all been before, where it's just Link can fish, he can ride his horse, he can...
I just got killed by a boar.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to, like,
be careful when you hunt.
Boars around. They'll gain the ire of enemies, and they'll focus on them and ignore you.
Yeah.
Things like that, just a lot of, like, sandboxy type stuff that you don't expect it can do. Or you don't necessarily expect that will happen. Because that's not how Zelda games have ever been. They've been pretty static.
Yeah.
That's really cool about this, that they've finally done the change that, as somebody that's not really been much of a Zelda fan since, for the early games, I've been mainly on there since Wind Waker. But even playing Twilight Princess, I had seen a lot of Ocarina of Time, but when I played Twilight Princess, like, this feels like Ocarina of Time. I need something new in this series to shake it up a little bit. So just being kind of the same game over and over again.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been good. Snipperclips is the other game I've been playing, which is just a really fun puzzle game. All about having two characters that are able to cut each other up, sort of depending on the challenge, like change the shape or step on one another to affect objects in the world or on the level. Things like that. It's really well done. It looks really nice. It's really charming and all that. And it's just a lot of fun to have a game like that at launch as a $20 game, which is a really nice price. Playing solo is really nice because I don't have to worry about jerks trying to screw around and make things take a lot longer.
Yeah.
So being only one person trying to control two characters, that's the only part that takes longer. But some of the puzzles are just nice to have. Not have jerks around to screw around, because they do some really cool stuff with the mechanics.
Yeah.
The first set of levels, there's two recurring like special puzzles that you have to, you know, beat a certain amount of puzzles to unlock. They're called Mockingbird, which generally involves rotating your characters, and they affect these, I guess they would kind of be like buckets, in a sense. Like you're trying to get eggs from the chute that spits them out to the, like, nest bucket. And so you're using your characters, and as you can cut them up, you can, that changes those little buckets. It's like Mockingbird version of your characters. That is a pretty cool way to change that core mechanic into something else. And the second world has a thing where you're effectively trying to hit a joystick with the two characters to control a princess in like a miniature platformer. Just collect these three diamonds that it's just pretty cool mechanic, because you will have to cut up the level so that she can get through without getting hit by enemies or get to diamonds that are hidden in the, like, the piece of paper that's covering them up, that sort of stuff, which is a really cool mechanic. Yeah, I'm hoping to get a review hopefully in a few days once I get some more, more time into that.
Cool.
Now I'm going to try out the co-op with two separate controllers, see if I can make that work for some of the co-op modes, see what the hell those are about.
Yeah.
See if I can control them both at the same time. That doesn't seem too hard for how small those Joy-Cons are.
Yeah.
But who knows? I was surprised you couldn't, when you have it in the grip, that you can't just control them separately that way.
Yeah.
That seems like it would be an easy way to do that, just have like a dual stick solo co-op thing. That sound like that's not a mechanic that people have been trying to use over the last few years.
Yeah, I mean, it worked for Brothers.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to playing some more of that. And that's been largely it. How about you, Danarup?
Nice. Well, this week, for the first time, we went to GDC. By we, I mean me. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a lot of fun. I went to a few panels, met some cool developers. I only got a chance to play around 5 games, but to my credit, I've only been there for like just a few hours. So the cool thing about GDC is that since it's mainly for game developers and stuff, gamers themselves aren't really there. I would say they're definitely more they're more strict about that than E3. But the cool thing is that, you know, if you know someone with a badge, you know, just take their badge and you go in. That they're not going to ID you or anything, so that's pretty cool. Hmm. So I played 5 games there. They were Crash Bandicoot Trilogy, Yooka-Laylee, Pyre, Rime, and Mutant League Football. Hmm. So I'll just talk a little bit about each. Crash Bandicoot is exactly the way you'd expect. It looks great. And it still has that lack of visual depth. I'm sure everybody here has seen somebody play Crash Bandicoot, especially for the first time, where, you know, you'll run up and down. You'll run up, jump over a hole, and it turns out you'll fall into that hole. Same shit happens here. So, yeah, it's good to see that aspect in Crash Bandicoot hasn't left. Yeah. I also got some time in with Yooka-Laylee. I played the toy box on Steam, and to be honest, I wasn't really feeling it, but it was a work in progress. Here, they gave us access to this snow level, which is really reminiscent of 3CZ Peak and Banjo-Kazooie. It was huge. There was a lot of Banjo-Kazooie type of stuff there, like you talk, and the people you talk to are, you know, just making noises. So it's like, things like that. So it was very rare. There were a lot of gold feathers to pick up, but you couldn't actually use them. I'd assume they were for invincibility, but yeah. As for the controls, they control the exact same way Banjo-Kazooie did on Rare Replay, so that's a good thing. And it also feels a whole lot more polished. This is a solid platformer through and through, so this is a release I'm really looking forward to next month. Hmm. I also got in some time with Rime, independent game coming really soon, and honestly, I don't know what to think of it. It feels a little bit like Eco, in the sense that, you know, you're in this ancient place and you don't know what the hell you're doing, and it's very puzzle driven. So it's looking good. Honestly, it's just a typical indie platformer / puzzle game. Mm-hmm. I also got my hands on Pyre, the next game from Supergiant Games, and nice. While I did enjoy both Bastion and what's the other one called? It escapes me. Yeah, Transistor. I did enjoy them both, but I wasn't engaged enough to finish. Primarily because, I don't know, the battle systems just didn't resonate with me. Pyre does, so we'll see how that goes. I'm definitely going to pick it up. I love the studio. I love the people that work there. So it's just a matter of me showing support. Yeah. And then the other game I played, which I thoroughly enjoyed, was Mutant League Football. I mean, quick story, Mutant Football League was actually the very first football game I ever played. And back then, I didn't know anything. It was just funny to see what was going on. So to know that it's back in HD is really awesome. You have pun names based on, like, every player and team in the NFL, and it's working out so far. This is the last day for its Kickstarter, and it's around $4,000 short of its last stretch goal. And they're scheduling it for release in October. So it'll be in time for football season, and it's a pretty good alternative or addition to, you know, what we have in Madden. So it's working out real well. on the gaming front, or on my personal gaming front, I got my hands on Horizon on Tuesday. I'm tabling that for a little bit because of the Zelda review and how huge it is. But Horizon is pretty huge, too. I'm going to have to agree with Brandon in the sense that I don't really agree with some of the comparisons it's drawing to Zelda, though it definitely has its similarities, mainly in the open world and being prepared for every combat situation that you find yourself in. But there's also this personal aspect that totally separates itself, and I'm talking mainly of its conversation system. because when you're talking with people, you typically have three ways of how you want to answer them, and they're very telltale-y. So it's actually really cool seeing the way Aloy acts and reacts towards different people. My only thing, as I mentioned in the Last Weekend podcast, was that I'm not really into what everyone's talking about, because I don't want to get too story-driven here, but everyone talks about the same thing, and honestly, I really don't care. the only reason why I'm doing these side quests is because I want to, like, level up my shit, get better gear, so I can, like, not get my ass handed to me in the regular game. But
that's usually a good policy.
Yeah, and because, you know, it worked well for me with Final Fantasy 15, so I figured if I went in Horizon the same way, it would be better. But yeah, it's mainly just side questing and stuff like that. One thing that I wanted to mention is that during some points, I don't even know if I'm playing the game right, primarily with the combat system. Like, I asked Brandon earlier if he's doing more shooting than meleeing, because I'm actually doing a lot of meleeing. I finished the proving part, and then I had to fight what's called a... actually, I forgot whether it's before or after. I had to fight what's called a sawtooth. And at the time, there was only one. And I killed it primarily by meleeing and staying to its side so that it wouldn't hit me. Because if you're directly in front of it, you're probably going to die. Yeah. And then I know you mentioned trapping it earlier. So I did that once, but I was too scared to do it again because it was so damn close to me. So better of that. It's hard in that sense, but... Again, I'm enjoying that aspect of it. And then there's the whole waypoint system, where in most open world games, if you set a waypoint, it's exactly where it's supposed to be and you can just run straight towards it. With Horizon, there are so many detours because the waypoint system is sort of a breadcrumbs kind of thing, where it'll be here, you go there, and all of a sudden it'll move again. So
you can turn it off if you want.
Oh, you could?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's like quest pathfinding. Just turn it off and it'll just show you where the goal is so you can find your own way there.
Okay. I guess that helps. That would make things a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I also got a Switch. I already talked about the story of me getting it yesterday. I don't want to go over it again because it pissed me off big time. But, yeah, so
well,
I had...
Well, okay, I'll listen to this weekend.
Long story short, obviously, I had three reserved. I had my own. I had yours, Pat, which was sent to you via Amazon on time, so thank God for that. And then I had a friend of mine. So I got my friends at GameStop, and I had my brother pick it up for him, and it was completely easy. He was in and out within 15 minutes. I went to one Best Buy for my Switch, took me an hour and a half, and then I had my friend pick up my other stuff at the other Best Buy. It didn't take him that long either. So obviously, GameStop is more organized. Best Buy really needs to figure out their launch stuff, but... Yeah, it really wasn't all that fun. But yeah, getting back to the Switch, yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I've played more on dock rather than in the handheld. I'm actually playing the handheld right now, and I'm enjoying what I'm seeing, especially with Zelda. Because, for example, when I'm playing on the TV, you really don't know about the contrast and brightness settings. But when you're playing it on the handheld, you definitely see the differentiation of where things are, especially in the darkness. So that's pretty cool. As for progress, I've made it to Zora's Domain, and I died there in the water, so in front of Zora's. But, you know,
that is exactly where I ended up before we started recording.
All right. Yeah, it was actually quite the journey to get there, right?
It was, and then I just, there was the shrine there, so ooh, shiny.
Yeah.
Ended up doing the shrine, yeah.
Yeah, these shrines are excellent. I know that they're really, really short, but, like, that's the idea, and it's really teaching
me a lot.
Oh,
you haven't gotten to that one yet.
Huh? Oh, I haven't gotten to that one?
They don't stay short.
I haven't actually gone inside it yet. I've turned it on, but I haven't gone inside it. One thing that I was trying to do was I was trying to get to as many shrines and towers as possible so I could, like, warp easily. Because, you know, these journeys are quite arduous. And you want to make sure that you're prepared. But, yeah, I've really enjoyed what I'm playing so far. The coolest item I've found is the magnet, which you get in the first four shrines. So,
yes.
Yeah, this is some good stuff, and I can't wait till the end game. Although,
all right, I'm going to... Before we move on, before we move on, I'm going to ask the same question I asked last night for all you guys who have Zelda. Is it worth the perfect scores?
Too early to tell.
Gotcha.
It is too early to tell, but I'm thoroughly enjoying the experience.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know I would give it a perfect score, but I would definitely give it a high score.
Yeah.
I'm going to say the same thing I said on Facebook. It forms a singular, concise trilogy with the two NES games. It takes about 2, maybe 3 minutes to introduce itself, and then it shuts the fuck up. I'm smitten.
So it actually does show that it's like that it's related to the Legend of Zelda and Legend of Zelda 2.
Yeah. Don't want to say much, but yes.
If All you right. read Hyrule Historia, it is not subtle about where it lands in the timeline.
All right.
Yeah, I think one of the first areas you get to is, what is it, the Temple of Time?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's right there.
It's right there.
It tells you, they specifically use the term Age of Decline, which if you read Hyrule Historia is...
I still have my copy around here somewhere.
Yeah.
Now they got a new book you can buy.
Mm.
Oh, I had that too. It's pretty nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess I'll talk quickly about like the annoyances I've had with the game, aside from dying all the time. And that would primarily be with how much... What's a good way to put this? Honestly, the controls have gotten super complex. You have arrows, you have kinds of arrows, you have your weapons, you have your shields. And, for example, with your shields, as far as I know, the only way to change your equipment would be to go to the pause screen. But with your other items, you don't have to do that. So I've had trouble differentiating which button does what, and that's led to a lot of deaths. Again, I don't mind dying, but with that, you know, especially when you're playing the game with three different controllers, depending on the situation, it could get pretty overwhelming.
Yeah.
That's just me.
Yeah, I wish you could customize the controls, because I would like
yeah,
to...
Yeah, you can't do that. Especially when you're
Horizon...
when you're used to the button layout of the Xbox and the PS4, when they have the same button layout now, except that, you know, the A button is circle, and that's pretty confusing to me, but, you know, I'll live with it.
Yeah, playing Horizon, there's three abilities I use a lot. There's jump, the crouch, and the sprint, and those are all mixed up for Zelda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would like
jump is
L3
sprint
should
be
sprint, which would be nice. But here it's crouch. I like crouch to be on the face buttons, and it's really hard to get a running jump because they're on the opposite sides of the face button.
Mm.
Yeah,
it's like I have to stop everything else just to do that.
Hmm.
It would be really nice if I could customize the controls. They let you swap jump and sprint, but that doesn't change much of anything.
Yeah.
Just whether you want the bottom button to run or jump.
Yeah.
I liked how in the previous 3D Zelda games you can actually, you know, have this item set to the C button or C direction.
Yeah.
Without having that, it's a lot harder than it should be.
Yeah, but we don't have C buttons anymore.
Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, the weird thing about the Switch that I don't think people really realized is when you got the Joy-Cons separated, their controls are not the same. Like the face buttons are completely different.
They're asymmetrical.
Yeah, so the idea of the games can't say press the A button because there's no A button for one player. The other player is rotated 90 degrees. So it's like you just have to watch the interface
the
just say push the right button, or the top button, or the bottom button. It's a weird situation they put themselves into.
Yeah.
I definitely want to give some time to at least a couple hours to the Wii U version to see how it feels because of the control stick's position on the right side. It's symmetrical, so I don't know how awkward it would be moving the camera around. I would bet it would be pretty annoying.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've also been playing 1-2 Switch. I've had a few friends over. My friend who got my games for me has his copy as well, so I went over to his place. And we're all pretty close friends, so we're doing things in positions that we shouldn't be doing them in the general public. But yeah, it's definitely fun. it's a good showcase of the hardware and, you know, what you can do with it. It's just
$50,
man.
Could have come with the system.
It should have came with the system. And if it did, I guarantee we'd be seeing a massive shortage.
All right. Yeah, we will talk a lot more about the Switch in a bit, but we should probably get on with some of the other stuff that's happened this week. First up, we got new lineups for PlayStation Plus and Games with Gold, since it is a new month, after all.
Yep. So for PS Plus, you can get for PS4, Disc Jam.
That's the game I mentioned last week. It's in beta right now. Windjammers. Kind of Rocket League-esque game, which this is a perfect place for it to be. Potentially going to get its best chance at an audience that sustains itself, much like Rocket League.
And we also have Tearaway Unfolded.
It's a really good version of that game.
For PS3, we've got Under Night Inbirth and Earth Defense Force 2025.
I've heard Under Night's a good fighting game.
It's brought to you by the fine folks who got us Melty Blood. So, Melty Blood, of course, if you haven't played that, it's on Steam. Just if you appreciate...
If you're a Type Moon fan, it's required playing.
Type Moon, 2D Fighters, it really is the happy medium between Street Fighter and Guilty Gear. And I think that's something that doesn't really come across as often as it should about that game.
And as for PS Vita, you can get either Lumo or Severed. And Lumo actually is also a cross-buy with PS4.
Yeah. Is that the game you played, Phil?
Yep, that's the one. It's the isometric puzzler game. It's a lot of fun. It will make your brain hurt.
Severed is also a very good game. Sort of a first-person touch-controlled dungeon crawler. That has a bit of Metroid in it as well. That has some of the same art style of Guacamelee to it, which is really cool. So that's a pretty good lineup for the month.
These games would be fucking great to download if my PS4 had some fucking room in it.
The new firmware will be out in a couple of days, so you'll be able to use your external drive soon. As for Xbox One, a couple of games for the Xbox One. That's Layers of Fear.
I'm helping out of that game.
That is not a game to play if you are easily creeped out by atmosphere stuff.
That's jump scares the game.
Cop out's the game.
So that's one. The other one for Xbox One is the complete edition of Evolve, which...
I'm surprised they're giving out all that DLC with it.
Yeah, well...
You think it would be like the...
Who's still playing it? Might as well.
That's the problem. Nobody's playing it.
And they're not supporting it anymore either.
Re-energize the player base.
So, those are the two Xbox One games. For the 360, via backwards compatibility, I got Borderlands 2.
Pretty good game.
And
Weird when you got it on Xbox One already with that Borderlands collection.
Yeah, a handsome collection.
That's like getting Saints Row 4 when there's a remastered version on Xbox One already.
It's kind of fun.
That plays worse.
It's kind of fun just to, you know, boot them up and just see how what the differences are. It's kind of neat. The other one is I can't read that.
Heavy Weapon.
Hey, I already have that.
One of the early PopCap games.
Yeah.
If you want to see what dual stick shooters were like before Geometry Wars hit it.
This one was that wasn't too bad. I mean, that was a hack. That was kind of a side scroller type of dual stick shooter.
That was PopCap's early games. That's not too bad.
Yeah.
Nice little time waster.
Yep.
Then Peggle came out and we're like, fuck, these guys can do some real good shit.
Yeah.
That Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah. And then they microtransactioned the hell out of Plants vs. Zombies 2 and ruined all credibility.
Fuck the game.
Pretty good lineups for both systems, I'd say. If you're, one of the... if you're a member of either subscription, you're getting some good games there. And speaking of subscriptions, Microsoft is starting another one. This one's called Xbox Game Pass. It's going to be starting up this spring. It's basically gives you, for $9.99 a month, gives you access to 100 games for Xbox One and Xbox 360 PC.
Yeah, download only.
Yeah, download only. So this is not streaming.
So I think not good for your
way to
cap.
Go about it.
Yeah.
Not good for data cap people?
No.
Halo 5, how big is Halo 5?
Neither is that much streaming.
96 gigs.
Oh, crap.
Exactly.
Nope. So, but yeah, I actually think this is a really good idea.
Might be good for, like, just 1 month, just binging.
Yeah. Yeah, you could, you know, sign up for a month, play whatever the heck you want.
Do that and, during the summer when nothing's coming out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it really kind of puts the screws to PlayStation Now at this point.
Yes.
Because they do have an all-you-can-eat tier, and I think it's like $30 a month.
20.
20? Yeah, that's still expensive.
And they have deals for yearly subscriptions for like $100, so it's a little bit cheaper that way.
Yeah.
But it's still streaming, too.
It's still streaming, so...
Yeah. That has its positives and negatives. You don't have to download anything, but...
Yeah, game starts up right
away.
Depends
on your bandwidth.
Yeah. And there's always a little lag and stuff like that, but, you know, in the Xbox One, you don't get that lag, but you do have to wait for the game to download, so, yeah, trade-offs.
Especially if they're huge games.
Yeah.
Like Halo 5.
Like Halo 5. What else is there? Well, I got Soul Calibur 2
maybe
on there.
Maybe a 2K's 40+.
Yeah, don't play fighting games on PlayStation Now.
Yeah.
Just don't.
Yeah. So, what else?
Doesn't require gold, but some of these games probably mostly require gold.
Hmm.
Like Payday 2 is on there. Might be able to play bots on that, but that's a game you want to play online.
Yeah. Well, that's a primary game anyway, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Still, it's kind of cool.
Another subscription service.
Yeah, another one.
$100 worth of subscriptions you could get with gold and
Easy Pass.
Yeah. EA and this.
Yeah, Microsoft really needs to just do, like, just kind of a Microsoft subscription pass that just gives you everything. You know, Xbox Live, Roof Music, Office 365, all that. Because they got a lot of subscriptions that you could sign up for.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are very useful, so, you know, might be something that they look into.
Yeah. Hmm. I guess there's maybe a potential, like, new stuff appears on here.
Yeah.
I think Phil Spencer has mentioned that as a possibility. I'm not sure who's going to take it, unless you're doing something that's very microtransaction heavy.
Yeah.
It's like a Sea of Thieves, maybe.
Possibly.
Like, stuff that could be technically free-to-play, even though you're paying $10 a month to get access to it.
Yep.
It also sounds like this is kind of like Netflix, where they can take stuff down, then you would no longer have access to it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what that's going to be like, I think. Still, it's a neat idea, and we'll see how it gets implemented, because, you know, I've run into the situation where I'm sitting here and I just don't want to play any of the games that I have and would like to play something else, so it might be a good solution for that.
Yeah, I'm curious. It says Xbox insiders get a chance to try it out. If they give it to us for free for that period, that would be nice to try it out.
Yeah, that's coming soon. I've already gotten notices about it.
Yeah.
So, be waiting to get the download for that and check it out. But that's not all that Microsoft has been doing. They've also launched the Xbox Live Creators program, which is basically the replacement for Xbox Live indie games that shut down a while back. So,
yeah, no multiplayer, no achievements, less presence. I don't really remember what presence is in terms of Xbox.
Yeah, that's basically it tells you, like, you know, what game you're playing, where you're at in the game. Indie games just kind of had is playing an Xbox Live indie game. Didn't really tell you what you were doing, so.
And like a separate storefront for this.
Yeah.
As well, so they're separating that stuff into a ghetto again.
Yeah.
They're just ghettoizing it, is what I was about to say.
Yep, and they're doing that again, so.
Yeah, it works with stuff, Construct 2, Monogame, Unity, and Zenko engines.
Hmm.
That's sort of what works with it out of the box.
Yeah.
Look, we need to do this whole indie games thing again, but we need to do something to make it seem more indie.
Yeah, we can't get people into our ID at Xbox program. Here's the baby version of that.
Yeah.
I guess you can get your game upgraded to that if you want.
Yeah,
I don't know why you don't just go to ID at Xbox, make that easier.
Well, this is free, and ID at Xbox is not. So.
Yeah, you know. But if you're going to try and sell a game, you would hope you'd recoup that cost quickly.
Yeah.
That's like the whole thing with like Steam doing their thing. Is like, if you can't put down $5,000 for a game, what are you putting a game on sale for?
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we'll have to wait and see how this one turns out.
Seems like they don't want to have the relaxed curation on ID at Xbox, so they made this as like their testing grounds.
Yeah. And chances are it will evolve over time, so.
Yeah, hopefully.
We'll give it a look. All right. So next up, we got a release date for the PC version of Nier Automata, which is March 17th. Yep.
Those who don't know, the actual game, the console release, releases here Tuesday.
Tuesday, yeah.
So yeah. This
not PC far off, either way.
PC version a week after, so that's not bad.
Yeah, it was kind of up in the air whether it was coming to PC at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. All I know is I'm more than likely going to be picking this up Tuesday. Because I love Taro Yoko and his just bizarre design philosophy. And I also really loved the original Nier. The original Nier is to action RPGs what Spec Ops The Line was to military shooters. In that by the end of it, you will feel like a complete monster.
Yeah.
Let's just say that all those weird shade enemies that you're fighting in the game, once you do the second playthrough and suddenly have the power to understand what they're actually saying. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I've heard weird things about that game. If you get through to your third playthrough, you can just buy the rest of the trophies you don't have.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Not only that, but there's a certain ending in the third game, which is technically the true ending. That will do everything. Not only is that, it basically is that it erases the memory of your character, it also erases your save.
Yeah. My friends hate that game.
Yeah.
And I think there's also a trophy for trying to look up the one character's skirt 10 times. So if you want a perv alert, there's your trophy to keep an eye on.
Yeah.
But for the record, everyone, this particular game, Nier Automata, has been getting really good reviews. And that's especially considered to pretty much all of Taro Yoko's games up to this point.
Yeah.
This is the first one that it looks like all the various elements actually came together well.
That's good.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm glad.
These, Taro last Yoko, 10 days in gaming.
Yeah, and the next 20 after that.
All right. So, other release news: Cosmic Star Heroine finally has a release date, April 11th for PS4 and Steam, and the Vita version will be later on. Finally, this game is coming
Persona
out.
5.
Yeah, a week after Persona 5, this game comes out.
Finally.
Maybe they thought they needed another challenge.
I've been waiting for.
At least it'll be $15 instead of $60.
Yeah.
So it'll be a nice cheaper option.
Yeah. So yeah, if you haven't heard of this one, I highly recommend checking this one out. It's got a nice style, so.
Yeah, it's very what is it? What's the influence I'm thinking of? Phantasy Star.
Yeah.
Kind of that kind of style of a Sega RPG.
Yeah. So we can get behind that.
Yep.
Yeah. Other news: Overwatch continues to expand. A new character named Orisa will be coming out soon.
Four-legged robot.
Yeah.
Crazy tank.
Because Blizzard.
Whoa, what happened? Who'd we lose?
Yeah,
Brandon.
Brandon dropped out. His bandwidth's been plop, but he'll be back.
Lucky.
Yeah.
He was so excited by Orisa.
Yeah.
I gotta get that shit right now.
Yeah.
Get on that PTR.
Yeah.
So yeah, robot tank person. This will go well.
You need a counter to Bastion.
Yeah.
I get another tank in there.
Yeah. So that should be pretty cool.
I think it's on the public test realms right now.
Yeah.
PC.
Yeah. And, oh yeah, what else can we talk about? Oh yeah, Fortnite apparently will be totally out this year, says Tim Sweeney. Yeah, we'll believe it when we see it. Yeah, that game has been in development for, I don't know how long.
5 or 6 years, I think.
Too long.
Yeah. So long that I'm not really sure it's relevant anymore, but I guess we'll have to wait and see when it actually does come out, because, I don't know. It could be interesting.
Yeah, they've put out games since then.
Yeah,
since they announced.
Yeah.
Unreal Tournament, Paragon.
Yeah.
I think I announced another one, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, they've been still at it, and, yeah, we'll have to, I don't know. This is one I'm going to miss, so if you guys want to check it out, go ahead. Not my cup of tea. What else we got here? Okay, Spike Chunsoft announced Fire Pro Wrestling World. We haven't seen a Fire Pro game in, like, a long time.
Long time.
Since the Microsoft game.
Yeah.
There was that weird Avatar one, and previously it was just Returns on the PS2, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's on the PS3 right now.
Yeah. Yep. And that's this will be coming out to PS4 and Steam.
Yeah, it seems like it'll have MMA stuff in it.
Yeah.
Potentially. I would say
potential's there.
Yeah. Suda51's involved in this as well.
Yeah.
Not mentioned here, but
yeah.
I'm not sure what to think of that.
I suspect it will get very crazy.
Yeah, because he's a big wrestling fan, worked on wrestling games early on.
Hmm.
I had no idea.
Okay, yeah, this series that Suda51 created.
Hmm.
Created?
Right. Or cut his teeth on, I guess.
Oh, I was just trivia!
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. He directed Fire Pro Wrestling 3 Final Bout.
Hmm.
1993, so.
Yeah. Well, this is one that we'll be getting in the West, so, yeah, it's going to be fun. It's a different style of wrestling game than you're typically used to, so, yeah.
Yeah, there's a trailer with him talking about the game.
Yeah.
So I guess this might be going through Grasshopper, or he's just such a huge fan, he's in trailers for it.
Yeah.
You could convince me of either.
Yeah. Okay, so what else we got here? Oh, yeah, Ultra Street Fighter 2. I was about to say Ultra Street Fighter 4, but no.
That's already a thing. And
yeah.
Although I'd be surprised to see it end up on the Switch at some point.
Yeah. The Final Challengers, May 26th release date on Switch, $40. You gotta pay $40 for another Street Fighter 2?
If it's legit.
Hmm.
I mean, they added Way of the Hato, that first-person mode. I mentioned way back.
No,
that is not going to be a factor in my decision whatsoever.
Yeah, a new first-person single-player experience where players attempt to defeat the Shadaloo army using signature Hadouken and Shoryuken special moves.
Nope.
That's your motion control mode.
Nope.
Stop it.
Utilize the motion controls of the Joy-Con.
Just no. How about we don't?
Now they got a physically digital art book included with this, 250 pages.
Hmm.
Well, that's a pretty art to look at.
Yeah.
Dynamic battle mode. Team up with friends to take on enemies.
Nah, I'll just play the regular game, thanks, but it better be good.
Well, that's a $40 version of a $15 game from several years ago.
Yeah. We also don't yet know
if it's a legitimate update that we can expect to be played in tournaments. I'm in.
Yeah.
I love me some Street Fighter 2, but, and, you know, would love to see the series restore itself to the point where we're seeing it back at Evo or things like that.
Yeah.
But so far it doesn't sound like that's what this is. It just feels like a nostalgia piece, and if that's what it is, then I don't have $40 to give it.
Yeah.
Does that depend on whether people like Evil Ryu and Violent Ken?
It depends on, for one thing, how many changes, if any, the existing cast had been treated to.
Okay.
As well as how toned down Akuma is compared to his actual Super Turbo self. And then just where the two newcomers arrive in the in terms of balance. I think if you get those three things happening well across the board, this could really be a thing. Honestly, right now I'm just waiting for word as to whether that is the case.
Hmm.
Right now, there's really no indication of what we can actually make of Ultra Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, and yeah, keeping it the information kind of sparse, and the information that is coming out isn't all that satisfying.
Yeah.
Hmm. So.
And more to the point is just just a second.
Also, other platforms would be nice to know if it's.
Yes, I mean if it's coming to PS4, there's no way in hell I'm buying the Switch version.
Right. But yeah.
Yeah, yes, I know they're making an A-trap for it, but honestly, the longer I can go without buying another fight stick, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen anything about it being exclusive.
Yeah. But,
no real reason they'd make Street Fighter 2 exclusive.
To anything?
At this
money
point.
Money hat? I don't know.
Then they're paying that money hat off to the consumers, saying, here, you pay for it.
That's true. But yeah, for a new, proper, balanced Street Fighter 2, I would absolutely pay $40. For a nostalgia piece, not so much.
Yeah. So, okay, next up, we got a new announcement from
Warner Brothers. We got Brandon back?
Yeah, he's on his way in. Yep.
My bandwidth took a dive.
Yeah.
Suddenly.
Yeah, it's like you were talking, and then your bandwidth was going, blah, 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 and then just you went away. So, okay.
I'm fine now, though.
Yeah. Skype happens. It's a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So WB announced a sequel to Shadow of Mordor. It's being called Shadow of War, and it looks pretty much what you expect it would look like.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's yeah, they say you're facing off, wield a new ring of power, confront the deadliest of enemies, including Sauron and his Nazgul, in a monumental battle for Middle-earth. The open world RPG is brought to life through the expansion of the award-winning Nemesis system.
Mm.
The robust personalization from the first game is now applied to the entire world, where the environments and characters are all shaped by player actions and decisions, creating a personal world unique to every gameplay experience.
Hmm.
I don't know, I believe it's going to be completely unique, but if it affects the world at all, that'll be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Because really nobody did anything. Hopefully it'll be better written than the last one was.
Yeah, you know, that's a pretty low bar, though. So, anyways.
And it's just like, go stab these guys in the back. That's all I need.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it was pretty good for that.
Yeah.
Fuck around with the AI.
Yeah, just do shit and enjoy being evil.
It's a shame nobody ever ripped off the Nemesis system, but if they're going to make it even better, that's going to be pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get gameplay this week sometime.
Because
this technically leaked out early, so they put out the trailer ahead of time, so we're going to get gameplay this week.
Cool.
Yep.
All right, in other news, EA's Peter Moore is not at EA anymore. Yeah, he's leaving, well, the industry entirely, it looks like, to...
He will be missed.
Yeah. Where is he heading? Liverpool?
He's going to the Liverpool Football Club,
which
is his hometown team. So that's a huge thing for him.
Yeah, he gets to be a football manager, finally.
Yeah, he gets to live his childhood dream, probably.
Yeah, so it's like... Hey, you get that kind of opportunity, you take it. That's just how that goes.
Especially when you're not getting that kind of love at your own place.
Yeah.
When he got passed over for the head job at EA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, wish Peter Moore the best and hopefully a few winning years in his future.
So, yeah, this industry will be...
Make me a fan.
Yeah, this industry will be a little bit less eventful without him around.
Maybe.
Sell stuff the way he does.
Yeah. Yeah. And thanks for tossing the sales to me, Chris, because Twitch is going to be selling video games on Twitch channels.
Yep.
That's well, actually...
The timing of that compared to my stepping up my own streaming game is entirely coincidental, I just want to point out.
Yeah, well, this is actually a very good idea if you really think about it. If you're just sitting there watching somebody play something on Twitch, you're like, you know, I really like this game, I want to buy it. And then you see a link right there, it just takes you, just puts it in your cart right away, and you can just buy it there. You know, friction-free purchasing is a thing.
Yeah, and if it's one of their... Twitch games from their partners, they get and the streamer is a partner too.
Yeah,
they get 5% of the revenue.
Yeah, which is good for them.
Not a bad cut for just playing a game.
Right. Yeah,
yeah. Which seems like it'll encourage everybody to play all the stuff it's partnered with Twitch.
Yeah,
should be played.
Yeah, don't forget Amazon's got their own games now, so you can bet they're going to be trying to push those too. So
that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a bunch of publishers on
board. The whole Double Helix thing suddenly makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah, the publishers they got on board is Ubisoft, Telltale, Digital Extremes, Hi-Rez Studios, Double Fine, Fred Wood, 11-Bit, Jackbox Games, Tiny Build, Raw Fury, Devolver Digital, Ambitious, Tryon Worlds, Blue Mammoth Games, Ink Stories, Versus Evil, Proletariat, Paradox Interactive, Lambeer, and Campo Santo.
Hmm.
Hashtag games people play and then some.
Yeah. So, good stuff for Twitch. So.
Yeah, it starts in the spring.
Yeah. And what else we got here? The Gaming History Foundation is officially launched. I'm not really sure to say too much about that one.
Yeah, they pretty much have been working on this for... a little while. Now they got a Patreon going up. I think it's $5 and up per month you can donate to help them meet their needs. They're planning to digitize a ton of reference material for games as well as games themselves so that researchers and various type of people can take a look at that stuff and use it for what they need. Hopefully it's all good stuff.
Yeah, well, it's all about preservation, you know. I'm all for this kind of thing. So
yeah, the stuff they're trying to add to their library: high resolution, lossless scans of game packaging and documentation.
Yeah, which is playable sort of
binary. Yeah, you know, playable binary code has been verified as clean and untainted.
Wow.
Yeah, they definitely talked about like Steve Lin, who's one of the guys running this on Giant Bomb, talked about how a lot of like. Trainers and such were attached as like the official versions of games that you could get back in the day, as well as stuff that might have had saves built in.
Yeah.
Just based on what people ripped and put up online.
Yeah.
So they're trying to get stuff that's the original source.
That's none of that. Yeah. Respect.
They're trying to get a better idea of like the marketing and all that for the original games, so they're getting marketing PR material. Including press kits, preview screenshots, trailers, slides, advertisements and such, periodicals, newsletters, and other printed resources, internal documentation, notes, source code, assets, and related materials from the creators and publishers that offer behind-the-scenes insight into how the games were made and sold, as well as digitized video, including sales videos that were never before available to the public. I know Jeff Gerstmann over at Giant Bomb has donated like a bunch of the crap he has just from being in and around the industry.
That's probably a lot. A
long time.
Yeah.
Things like, here's promotional shirts they gave away at CES or E3.
Yeah.
That he somehow kept and just said, fuck, take it away from me. He doesn't want
I don't have the room anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, they got big libraries they're putting together for all this stuff. Working with various museums and exhibits and such, sort of get all that out there. And yeah, they've also got Patreon. I'm not sure where they got the link for that. at on this site. I donate.
Yeah.
Yeah, their Patreon. See how much they're getting. $1,600 a month right now.
Hmm. Well,
$5 for the basic, $10, $25, and $100.
Hmm.
Get access to, like, Discords to talk with them, share ideas and all that.
Hmm.
Those Google Hangouts and one-on-one video meetings.
Yeah.
So, things like that.
Good stuff. And I approve of this.
Yep. Yes.
Yeah. So now we get to the Nintendo Switch. Before the launch happened, Nintendo just did a game dump of all of their Nindie titles. I'm not going to spend too much time on any particular one of these, because there are a crap ton of them. So, yeah, Blaster Master Zero, that was a surprise.
Yep.
And holy crap, does it look good.
Oh yeah.
Basically a sort of spiritual successor to the original Blaster Master.
Yeah. So
which was one of those games that it was a Nintendo essential, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, this game looks very similar to that. It sounds very similar to that. It's being developed by Inti Creates. You know, these guys kinda do a lot of games. Well, they did Mighty No. 9, but we won't hold that against them. That was a clusterfuck to begin with.
Yeah. Inafune owns that one.
Yeah, so that's the thing that's coming out. When is that? It's Switch and 3DS exclusive, and it's this week.
Yep, Thursday.
Thursday. Then we saw Rocket Rumble. Rocket Rumble. Yeah. Dyslexia.
Mm-hmm.
Switch exclusive coming out sometime in March. Don't really know what to make of this one.
Yeah, it looked like a Neo Geo Pocket Color kind of fighting game.
Hmm.
Like that's how the sprites are stylized and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, looks kind of cool. Ukulele, $4.19 probably because
that's what
we would say barely qualifies as indie.
Yeah. Well, they kind of are, but...
It technically is, but just the crap ton of money they got through that Kickstarter.
Yeah.
Then again, Ukulele is probably just going to be on all the things.
Yeah, it probably will be one of those games that just ends up everywhere.
So. I think the stretch goals kind of dictated that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Noodle spawn a series.
Yeah. And then, let's see, Mr. Shifty. Switch First coming out in April. Don't really know too much about this one, but
yeah, I still got to watch the direct myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's like a top-down kind of action game, I guess.
Yeah.
So you're kind of doing heists and such, but trying to dash through lasers and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very, very
seems pretty cool.
Indie type game. Yeah. Then we got Shakedown Hawaii, which sounds a lot like Hotline Miami.
It's the follow-up to River City Rampage.
Yeah.
So, Retro City Rampage.
Yeah, so...
That's the right one.
Yeah.
Oh, which is sort of a SNES Super Nintendo kind of version of GTA.
Yeah.
Which looks really cool and kind of surprised it's coming to...
it's coming to Switch.
They got the like a timed exclusive on that.
Yeah,
because that's a game that pretty much came out on everything.
Yeah,
that'll be out in April.
Yep. And then we have a game that has an amazing name, Graceful Explosion Machine.
Yeah, that one's like a.
I really need to watch this direct.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of like total carnage kind of games in here.
Yeah,
I think they're right up your alley.
Mm. So that was that. Let's see, Tumbleseed. That's coming at some point.
Yep.
Because it disappeared from my coming out in spring, apparently. Then we got.
Oh yeah, this is the game from the team that did crap. What is it? Is it Roll 7? Is it the Ollie Ollie people?
I think so.
Or it's the Threes people. Mm. I think it's the Threes people.
I think the Threes people.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a game where it's you're kind of rolling the ball to the left and right to get out of obstacles and take out enemies and grab stuff, whatever you need to do.
Yep.
So it's kind of got a little bit of Plinko kind of vibe to it.
Yeah.
That seems like a gyro game.
Probably. Following up with that, we got SteamWorld Dig 2. It's coming out in the summer. That first game was great, so yeah, let's bring some more of that. Then we got Stardew Valley, which is apparently coming out on everything.
Yep. That was a real coup for Nintendo right there.
Yeah. Since they're not going to make Harvest Moon, they might as well put the game that did it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The big thing with this Stardew Valley is that it's going to have multiplayer.
Hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, they're adding multiplayer, and despite saying this is going to be the version that has multiplayer first, the PC version is going to. The developers said that on Twitter. So yeah. They're kind of talking console exclusive.
Yeah.
Multiplayer for a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep, I do believe they just sold a few Switches right there.
Probably, yeah. So then we have Dendara. It's a Switch exclusive. Switch exclusive features anyway. And that's coming out this summer.
Yeah, Metroidvania-inspired adventure featuring a bold heroine trying to bring direction to a directionless world.
Yeah.
So you change the gravity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can get
behind
this.
Walking on walls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked for VVVVVV, so yeah, that was a thing. And then Runner 3, coming out Switch first this fall. Yeah, we kind of know what this is.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Also, what we know is The Escapists 2, that's coming out sometime this year.
Yep, hopefully they add recipes to that, because that was the worst part of the original.
Yeah.
You had no idea how to make anything unless you had a wiki sitting next to you.
Yeah.
So you had to play with the wiki just to do basic things.
Yeah. Then we have a game with another awesome name, which is Flipping Death.
That's from the Stick It to the Man people.
Hmm.
Yep.
So it's kind of that same art style, but you play a teenage girl, I think, that turns into death.
Hmm.
Switch between the world of the living and the world of the dead.
Yeah. Yep.
To solve weird, silly adventure kind of puzzles.
Yeah. And then we have Goner, Switch first with DLC this year.
Let's see. Tough as hell, score-based, procedurally generated platformer with roguelike elements. So all of the indie stuff.
Yeah, all of the indie stuff, basically. And then let's see, we have here Kingdom 2 Crowns also this year. Yeah, this looks kind of okay.
Yeah, let's see. Co-op experience. Not much here. Doesn't say anything about how it plays.
Yeah, it's just some screenshots and stuff. We got Overcooked Special Edition. This is the original Overcooked has been out for a while, so we know what this one is already. So
that's perfect fit for the
Switch.
Switch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Wargroove for this year. Sometime.
That's one of the games we talked about earlier. That's the Chucklefish game that looks like
Advance Wars.
Yeah.
So that's finally coming out this year for Switch, at least.
That was a lot of stuff.
And a lot of these have HD Rumble support.
Yeah.
So that's where some of that's going to be, since not much that is out at launch has it.
Yeah.
I can confirm that Fast Remix does.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, I guess we can our last segment here with Facebook discussion of the week. The Switch is out. How is it? This is where we can talk about our experiences with the Switch so far and to let people know what we think of it. So, yeah, I'll let you guys who've gotten hands-on with it get started, and I'll chime in later.
All right. I'm surprised by it. I mean, I'm not used to Nintendo launches being this strong. The Wii U was decent, actually, but the GameCube and the Wii, not a whole lot to write home about. Bomberman was a bit of a surprise. I don't know if I would come right out and say that it holds up to the older games, particularly the Super Bomberman series that the name invokes. but Zelda is an absolute return to form for the series. And this is coming from someone who couldn't even stand Ocarina of Time. Mm. Fast Remix is so close to being brilliant. I think, and I'm going to be pointing this out in the review, but if Sheenan Multimedia can get over the whole cinematic crashing and ambient hazards issues, which are kind of genre staples at this point, but that is not to the genre's benefit.
Mm.
I think once Sheenan gets past that, we aren't going to be talking about the Fast Racing series as so much an alternative to F-Zero, so much as something that has actually carved out its own place among F-Zero and Wipeout and these great futuristic racing games. That being said, I don't really want to come right out and call Fast Remix a swing and a miss, because that would be discounting so much that is good about it. But yeah, it's definitely not quite there yet. But as a system, I'm blown away, because I think this is the whole hybrid console handheld thing, you know, which we talked about before we even knew what somebody doing before the NX or the Switch became a thing. You know, it's what consoles have needed to do for quite some time. And, you know, it's a good way to make sure that nothing is quote unquote relegated to handhelds, as I've said at times. But at the same time, it brings with it that convenience of having the games on the go with you,
mm-hmm.
you know, should you decide to play that way. And that being what the whole system is about, you choose how you play it. I think Nintendo's going to be rewarded for that. I really do. So, how about you guys?
I mean, I'm someone who, honestly, when they showed the first trailer for what the Switch was, I was pretty psyched. And then when they went on to the presentation, that kind of tempered down my expectations a little bit. You know, we talk a lot about the hidden costs associated with its launch and a bunch of things about the system, and that really started to bog me down a little bit. But now that I actually have one in hand, I'm totally enjoying it. It's a great system, and you know, I still don't quite get the buzz surrounding it, but I do have to say that moving forward, this looks like everything that the Wii U was supposed to be.
Yeah. I think a lot of the buzz is just about Nintendo making a system that's relatively conventional for a change.
Yeah. Yeah.
And bringing all of the third-party philosophical compatibility with it that must bring.
Yeah. Do you think that that Nintendo is actually a competitor again?
I mean, I'm on the boat that actually believes they aren't trying to compete. I've said it before, like, the Switch's existence is going to be detrimental to Sony and Microsoft moving PS4s and Xbox Ones, but I don't think, you know, the Scorpio or the PS4 Pro will affect anything that Nintendo does.
No.
The only way I see them actually really competing is if the rumors about Sony releasing another handheld are true, but I don't see that happening considering how strong the mobile gaming market is right now.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think the next time we see a Sony handheld is when they put the PS4 in that form, which may not be off the table now that the Switch is a thing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see Nintendo really taking much from Sony, Microsoft, other than things like, oh, hey, this indie thing is going real well for them. We're going to put a huge amount of investment into those developers to get their games on our platform. If not exclusive or first, like, just get them on there at all.
Yeah.
Because from what I've heard, it's probably the easiest platform to get indies on, though Nintendo's been saying that they're curating heavily, at least this early on.
Yeah.
Because if you've looked at the eShop on the 3DS or Wii U, they've let a lot of crap on there. Things like Meme Runner games.
Yeah.
With Illuminati shit in there. It's like some really bad stuff. Like,
yeah.
And that wouldn't be a big deal if there were a ton of great games coming along with it, like on PS4 and Xbox One, but that's not as common as it should be.
Yeah. Something I really want to see moving forward are the third parties actually making, you know, something new. A lot of the games that we're seeing, you know, we have the Skyrims, we have the Skylanders. There's nothing actually new. And, you know, we can talk all we want about, you know, Nintendo actually having third-party support now. But are we going to get it later? I mean, it was the same case with the Wii U. EA dropped out. All these other companies dropped out. But honestly, why would we buy, like, you know, a Tekken Tag Tournament 2 when it was already on something else?
Yeah.
You know, you want to see something new before you can really support it. And that's, you know, the kind of the hole that Nintendo finds itself in. It's not really their fault, but it's what it is.
Yeah, it's surprising to see Ubisoft come out at launch with nothing unique for it when that's their whole deal.
Mm.
Is that they come at all these different platforms with at least like one thing that's unique usually, especially on Nintendo, where last time around they came out with Zombie U.
Yeah.
I mean, like well, what are they showing now? Rayman Legends? That game came out like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah, Rayman Legends, Just Dance.
Mm.
It's like all this stuff, it's older stuff that's, you know, Just Dance is perfect for the Joy-Cons, but Rayman Legends is maybe even kicking people in the shins after the way the Wii U version went when they were like, oh, we're going exclusive. No, we're just going to bury this whole game because we want to get it on the other platforms first.
Yeah. I mean, it was on Games with Gold, for fuck's sake, you know. For a lot of people, the Switch is going to be a second system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And for me, like, the portable aspect of it is greatly exaggerated from Nintendo's end, because this is not a portable system. You have to have a backpack that you regularly travel with to make it even that much portable. It's portable in that I can go take care of food and bring it with me over there, or take it into the bathroom, or, you know, it moves around way better than the gamepad ever did. Which you had to be in.
I really love my Sheikah Slate carrying case. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's a nice sturdy case, which has my Zelda case in there too, because I don't have anywhere else to put it right now.
Yeah.
It's like, just stick it in there.
Yeah.
And like the accessory situation kind of sucks. Like that they have two different grips that it's really easy to get confused on which one comes with the system. Because the one you get is just a shell.
Yeah.
It's not the one that lets you charge up the Joy-Con.
The other one charges, has sort of a rubbery textured grip.
It's like, why did you produce millions of these ones that don't do anything, really? And not just give everybody the one that charges everything so it puts it on par with the Pro Controllers.
Yeah.
It's like, I can accept the Pro Controllers are a little bit more expensive because you got things like the HD Rumble and the Amiibo sensors in there. You don't really need the Amiibo sensor in your controller, but whatever they want to do with that, that's fine.
On the Nintendo site, they're actually selling the dock on its own for about $60, whereas in regular stores, it's the dock plus the AC adapter, which brings up to, what, 80, 90?
Yeah, 90.
Yeah.
Which is kind of retarded.
Yeah. And I think the one thing I'm getting with the, as far as accessories still goes, the screen protector, just so I can be 100% sure it's not going to get scratched.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently people, like some of the reviews have been saying that putting it back into the dock and pulling it out so much has scratched the screen.
Yeah.
I worry about that.
Yeah, so it's like, we don't need another 3DS situation where you put out a console that scratches itself just by using it.
Yeah, that'd be bad.
And so that's one of the things I ordered that. I should get it later this week, so I don't really take it out of the dock too much. But
it's just going to stay right there in mine until my screen protector gets here.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's not much reason to pull it out because that the little stand kickstand it has is bad. I try and use it, and if you try and like mess with the volume, it just falls over because it can't handle touching a finger on top of this thing.
Yeah,
it's not that sturdy.
Yeah,
should even be in the middle of the back instead of on the one side, because it's real easy to tip it over just because it's off balance.
Yeah,
it's just weird design.
Yeah,
on
some
their
things
part.
Were not quite thought through. I get the sense that some things just weren't finished.
Yeah, this isn't like the Surface tablets where it's like this thing's just going to sit on your desktop.
Yeah,
and you have a keyboard attached to it, so you don't have to really touch it at all.
Yeah,
it's the thing where it's got lots of buttons on it because you want to maybe turn it, you know, put it in sleep mode or mess with the volume or put your earphones in or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, you might have to touch it, and that just causes it to fall over. It's a really stupid design to have this kickstand. The one good thing is it keeps your SD card protected.
Yeah.
So it covers that up.
On the upside, the Nintendo did leave the door wide open for third-party accessories to do, an aftermarket kickstand, because that thing falls off pretty easily, and it's actually meant to. So
it's already a few.
Yeah,
it'd be nice if it had like a little dock, kind of like what the gamepad has. Where it's like this nice thing that holds it up nice, so you can do whatever you want on it, if just touch wise. Like if you touch it on, like I'll turn it on, just load up a game just from that, not having to pull it out and hit buttons or anything.
Yeah.
That's what I really liked about the gamepad. But, holding it, holding up in handheld mode kind of feels pretty good, but also feels like I can't hold it with one hand or the other. Because you potentially put stress on the rails.
Hmm. And that was one thing that I noticed right away, like, when I was doing initial setup and it had me clip the controllers onto it.
Yeah.
That was the moment that removed any doubt that this is not the replacement for the 3DS.
Yeah.
You know, little kids are not going to be taking this system with them to school. If they're running around and they fall, it would be so easy for the controllers to just detach from the core unit the hard way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And there's no fixing that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, Giant Bomb, Jeff Gerstmann was carrying that around to their Friday show last week, then said he accidentally dropped it on concrete, which not a great thing to begin with, but it damaged the things that holds the Joy-Cons onto it, so yep. They could just sort of lightly push it and just flip them right off.
Mm.
It's like just one drop. Obviously, that's electronics now. You can drop your phone, just hit it the right way the first time, just shatters your screen.
Yeah.
It's like you can drop it 100 times before that and it'll be fine.
Mm.
But you just drop it the one wrong way, it'll shatter.
Mm.
Yep.
So have any of you guys actually tasted your Switch cartridges yet?
No.
No.
Mm.
No comment.
Yeah, I saw that. That's a thing.
Not gonna lie, I gave it a little lick. It was one of the most bitter things I've ever tasted in my life.
Yeah,
and I'm Filipino. We have some bitter shit in our food.
Is intentional. This is actually intentional.
Yeah, to keep animals and kids from trying to eat it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The chemical the cartridges are coated with is denatonium benzoate. It's supposedly one of the most bitter chemicals around that is non-toxic. So,
pretty sure isn't that like the same stuff they add into canned air?
Yeah.
So people don't huff, because people used to constantly huff the stuff. And
yeah, so
they still do.
Yeah, even though it tastes like ass. But
I like the dumb joke that Giant Bomb did. Turned out to be like this weird, stupid meme that people started tasting their game cartridges when they got them.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that Nintendo does. I mean, it's one of those details that somebody thought of. It's like, these things
now
are
tiny.
Now
we gotta go back and lick all our old cartridges.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure you're not... There's no danger of swallowing a NES cartridge, so...
No.
You know?
No, but you gotta lick your DS cards, your Vita cards, see what that...
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, what do you guys think of the interface?
I love it. It's a breath of fresh air coming from Nintendo. It's I almost felt like I was using a Sony platform.
I would say it's even simpler than that. To me, this defines keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah.
For me, it feels really bare bones. Like, they knew what they wanted it to do right now. And it's really in need of them to expand things pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's
like
definitely...
Just going to the eShop, it's like, oh, here's the 9 games that are out now.
Yeah.
Here's, like, a couple that might be coming out in a few weeks.
Mm.
And... you can redeem codes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. It's definitely not finished. I mean, I was watching your video, and I noticed that you had, like, 2 items on your home screen, and then you could just scroll endlessly to the right, even though you didn't have anything.
Yeah, like, if you fill that up, like Giant Bomb did, it brings out, like, a library, sort of like the PS4.
Yeah.
So it kind of does that.
Yeah.
So...
but still, if you've only got like less than 1 screen, why does it let you scroll? It's just one of those kind of things that just make it feel a little unfinished. But, you know, when you're looking to launch a system, there's things you have to prioritize. You want to make sure the thing works out of the box, and those little things you can iron out later.
So, yeah, like
I haven't watched your video yet, but have you seen the thing where if you check like more options on your game, you can actually like add points or something?
Yeah, for the My Nintendo Rewards, that's essentially how you will attach those to your account so you can get the points.
Hmm.
Instead of people being able to get the codes out of the boxes.
Physical releases, I love it.
Hmm.
Yeah, because the way people would do it is they go to GameStop and just look through all the cases and pull out all the Club Nintendo cards.
Yeah.
And they realize there's nothing they want because they'll get more points than they need.
Yep.
It's like you guys are just assholes taking these things from other people. There's weird things like you can archive the game, somehow keep the save, but I think that if you just try and delete it, it also leaves the save.
Mm.
It's weird. I think it depends on whether you want to keep the icon or not. I don't know. That's the sort of detail they don't have yet, especially in terms of like save management.
Yeah, the saves are stuck on the device. You can't move them.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense because nobody's buying 2 Switches, really. Need to, like, swap back and forth. Not yet, at least.
Not yet, but when that starts happening...
Yeah, when they start putting out, like, other colors and such, people want to swatch those, and they'll probably
cloud
have that
saves
out by then.
Would be nice.
Yeah. Yeah, we still don't know, like, how much they're going to charge for that multiplayer service, what else they're going to offer with that. There's no pre-orders in the eShop, things like that.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll talk about that stuff before or after E3?
Hopefully before.
Mm.
Hopefully.
Should know about more what the system's going to do before they do their direct.
Yeah, well, based on the fact that, you know, they only, like, revealed their launch lineup 4 days before launch, I'm not really too thrilled about Nintendo's communication, but...
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
the
way
website,
we went to launch not knowing what the eShop looked like.
Yeah. So... But on the whole, though, this is probably Nintendo's strongest system in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they've got gimmicks in there like HD Rumble and the motion controls, but I don't see a lot of games really forcing it.
No.
Yeah, maybe they don't.
I think they learned
have
that lesson
to it yet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, there are some weird games that don't let you dock it. Don't let you play it in the dock.
Yeah.
There's a game called Voez. It's like a touch-based rhythm game.
Yeah.
You can only play that in handheld mode.
Yeah, because it's the only way you can use a touchscreen.
And I want to say there's another game that doesn't let you play it with a pro controller.
Hmm.
Maybe it's Blaster Master Zero.
Oh, that would be very, very dumb.
Yeah. I want to say you have to play that with the grip.
Yeah, that would be like...
handheld mode.
That would be like point gun at foot and shoot.
Here's a game that you could use a D-pad for. We're not going to let you use the thing that has it.
Guys, I just put something so bad in Zelda that they mosaiced over it.
It all goes back to Star Fox Zero and Smash Brothers. You know, Smash Brothers will let you use every controller imaginable.
Yeah.
You go to Star Fox Zero. It's like, oh yeah, you can only use the gamepad. I'm like, why do I have all this other shit then?
Yeah
Star Fox, options. You have to play in the fetal position.
Basically.
Like, you gotta lean back and get in the position or whatever the hell the Kotaku was showing for that.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
I do like that it has a meme creator in it. When you take screenshots, you can just put text over it. That's what I used as the thumbnail for that Switch OS video.
Yeah.
It's just the dumb thing. Picture of Zelda. It's like, I just wrote Zelda!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a real dumb thing. People are starting to use it as a meme.
Yeah.
Right. So, basically, I guess what we're saying is Nintendo is, they've more or less made themselves a big force in the gaming world again. But they've more or less sort of created their own market.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential here for the Switch. It's a system with unique features, and because it's less powerful than PS4 or Xbox One, it is competing with them, but it's not directly competing with them. So what I'm hoping happens in the not-too-distant future is that developers and big publishers will start basically doing Switch-exclusive games.
Yeah.
Stuff that takes advantage of that hardware, does it really well, and serves a market that, you know, is there, but hasn't been served in a really long time.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, because we've been told, apparently it's very easy to program for.
Yeah.
Granted, as far as graphics-wise, it might not be quite as powerful as, you know, Xbox or PS4, but as Zelda Breath of the Wild showed us, you know, you don't need super detailed HD to look amazing.
Mm.
That's true.
You need a good frame rate, though.
Yeah, you do that. Yeah. And, I think that's going to get sorted out by a firmware fix, to be honest. So,
oh, yeah.
I mean, Nintendo's never really had problems making their own games look good.
Yeah.
No.
So.
Look at Xenoblade, and that's another prime example.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, so, there's a lot of potential for Nintendo and to get some really cool stuff going. Because this year, what do we have? Mario Kart, there's ARMS, there's Splatoon 2. Fire Emblem Warriors is supposed to be out this year. Is Xenoblade Chronicles 2 supposed to be out this year as well? Maybe?
Not sure.
Maybe. I think late this year.
It is cool. It's not, I wouldn't mind.
That's probably the most likely thing to get bumped out of the year.
Yeah, probably.
And then we got Super Mario Odyssey. It's like, it's a pretty good rest of the year.
Yeah.
The one problem they have is that this year, like, all the good games are coming out. So it's not necessarily
insane year.
They gotta,
do you want to bring your heavy hitters now or later?
Yeah
they got to fight for your time because we don't have the time to play everything that's coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
Nope.
You know, it's cruel enough that I get Horizon Zero Dawn on Wednesday, and about a day and a half later, I get Zelda. It's like, fuck! I don't have the time for both of these.
Yeah.
I mean, like, let's say we're wrong and Red Dead Redemption doesn't get delayed. To have that the same week as Mario would be devastating.
Yeah.
Well, no. I don't think it would be. Honestly, if it comes down to Red Dead or Mario, it's actually serving two different markets.
Yep.
Yeah.
True.
So, I think that
it's still
Mario
time
Odyssey,
to play from another.
Yeah, but I think Mario Odyssey is going to sell regardless of when it comes out and what it comes out against.
Because it's Mario.
Yeah.
And Mario, you
Mario
could...
Mario is decent seller.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Mario, you could slap Mario on a dog turd and it would still sell millions of copies.
Yeah.
Just because it's Mario.
Yeah.
Special flavored cartridges for it.
Limited spaghetti edition cartridges.
Mm.
Well, this one's a special poop flavored cartridge. Don't eat it.
Don't eat it.
I mean, you got to understand, Mario is still a big thing for kids. He was part of our childhood. He's timeless.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking from a sales standpoint. I'm talking about from my personal time.
Yeah.
Well, we know that.
Yeah. So. Yeah, so I guess we're all kind of fairly positive on the Switch so far. It's there's still things that are up in the air, but it's Nintendo's ball game to lose at this point.
It's a very flawed system, but there's a lot of that is stuff they can improve through firmware updates and just better control of the messaging than just we're not going to talk about this stuff that you really want to know about.
Yeah.
It's easy I'm going to use Samus as my avatar to confirm a Metroid game.
Confirmed.
Yeah, mine's KK Slider. Because that's the only cool character on that whole list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm just using an R-Wing to represent while Phil can't.
Yeah, thanks for that. So yeah, I think we'll end it there for this week. Like always, you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, TuneIn, Google Play, and any other RSS reader you happen to be using. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/smashpadsocial. Also, facebook.com/dayzerooupdate. We're there too.
Just a couple things I want to add. It is easy to forget that the PS4 and the Xbox One in 2013 are not what the systems that we have now. Those have both come a long way. So we have every reason to believe that the Switch will enjoy the same trajectory. Other than that, that was also the Facebook discussion of the week. So whatever everyone listening has to say about their experiences with the Switch so far, feel free to go over to our Facebook page and chime in.
Yeah.
And if by any chance you happen to have a, extra one that you're not using, you can send it my way. I would be more than happy to take it off your hands.
Yeah. I thought you were busy with Horizon.
Mm. Or Icon.
Mm. Oh, God.
Yeah, we're going to end the show there.
Yeah. And with that, I'm Filippo Genelfo.
I'm Patrick Mifflin.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
I'm Chris Sologi.
And I'm Dan Red Victoria.
And we'll see you next week.